London.
All right. You're going to be hearing a lot more about LIBOR in the days to come. That's because this scandal, which right now has been mostly confined to Barclays in the UK, is going to involve probably a lot more banks and is going to involve a lot more investigation. So get used to hearing about LIBOR. And before we go in even further into it, we want to make sure that you understand exactly what LIBOR is. It's basically the interest rate that sets up the borrowing rate between banks. And it is at the center of the interest rate rigging scandal that, as I said, involves more than a dozen banks around the world. It's a little complex. It involves interest rate manipulation in both American and British banks, and it has regulators really up in arms.
The LIBOR scandal has caused a huge blow to the reputation of the banking industry. The cynical greed of traders asking their colleagues to falsify their LIBOR submissions so that they could make bigger profits has justifiably and shocked and angered people.
Bob Diamond, the American boss of the British bank Barclays, agreed to pay almost $500 million last week to settle accusations that had tried to manipulate LIBOR. Diamond has since resigned. And yesterday, he testified in front of the British Treasury Select Committee about his bank's role in the scandal.
When I read the emails from those traders, I got physically ill. It's reprehensible behavior. And if you're asking me, should those actions be dealt with? Absolutely.
All right, so let's at least deal with them with Mark Scott, a reporter for our partner at the New York Times. He's been covering the LIBOR scandal for the Deal Book blog. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
You know, in terms of the overall history of banking, LIBOR is a pretty recent development. It was only established in the 1980s. Why did we have to institute LIBOR?
Well, Celeste, it's a really complicated question, as you said. And so, as you mentioned, LIBOR pretty much underpins a lot of trillions of dollars of financial products, ranging from derivatives to individuals' mortgages. And the idea was up to 18 banks get together on a daily basis and submit to the British Bankers Association here in London what they think it would cost them on a daily basis to lend, to borrow money from other banks.
And in order for one bank to manipulate their own LIBOR, then they'd have to have the agreement from the other banking executives?
No, it gets even more complicated than that. So what the British Banking Association Bankers Association does is they cut off the top. Again, apologies for the complication, but they cut off the top and bottom figures and then take an average of the the medium interest rate. So it's very difficult for one individual bank to manipulate this rate on a daily basis.
But it is fair to say that the LIBOR, although it is a complex financial interest rate and an instrument, the LIBOR really affects people on the Main Street. It affects what they pay for their credit cards. It affects what they pay for their mortgages. It even, in some cases, affects our currencies, right?
It sure does. I mean, again, I don't think many people before this week even knew LIBOR existed. But, for example, take this, say a bank, for example, would use LIBOR or another financial benchmark to help set interest rates on many of the loans they make. So, for example, on someone's adjustable mortgage, for example, a bank might charge them LIBOR plus then an additional amount of interest. So, yes, this definitely affects people on Main Street.
But we're told that these banking executives, part of the motivation to manipulate it, if that's the case, right now they're allegations, part of the motivation was to make the banks appear stronger than they actually were. How does that work?
So, again, this dates back to around the collapse of Lehman Brothers back in 2008, when many of the financial markets pretty much shut down because banks were very concerned about which financial institution may be next. And so what the regulators have said that and are now investigating banks, that they potentially put in a lower rate to underpin LIBOR, so it would make them look stronger than they actually would be when they went to the markets to find funding.
That would argue, Mark Scott, a reporter for the New York Times, that would argue that now that things are a little bit more even-keeled, now that many of the banks have returned to profitability, that this kind of interest rate manipulation is no longer going on. Do we know that for sure?
Again, from what the regulators have said in their settlement with Barclays, is this is mostly related to up to 2009, although that might change. I think the real question comes down to, you know, of the number of banks involved in potential manipulation. And again, these are still allegations. Investigations are still ongoing, but it really touches sort of many of the top names on Wall Street.
And I, you know, when I was very first reading about LIBOR, the first time I had to look up what it was, Mark, it was Wall Street Journal talking about Citigroup, and I wonder, why is it taking longer for the investigation to really make headlines in the U.S. than in London?
Well, I think both authorities in both Britain and the U.S. have been taking the lead on this. For example, the Department of Justice has been involved in the Barclays investigation, as well as U.K. authorities. So I think when it comes to ongoing investigations, both U.S., British, as well as, say, Japanese and Swiss regulators are really taking a hard look at this.
And in the end, Mark Scott, with all the talk that's been going on, perhaps even more so than during the entire financial collapse, about the culture at banks, how people may have not have explicitly broken any laws, but that this reflects the attitude among banking executives. Do you think this actually will end up in any kind of real regulation? Will we see the change in the way LIBORs are set, for example?
I think so. Right now, there are a number of reviews going on, both by the British Bankers Association, who now currently set LIBOR, as well as within the British government, about maybe taking this out of the bank's hands and having a sort of a third party look at this and set it on a daily basis. I think it's very we need to put some of this into context. Yes, this goes right to the culture of investment banking. But within Barclays itself, the traders that were involved was about 14. So it's a very small number. But as you say, it does really get under people's skin about the culture within investment banking. And frankly, it is not the first scandal we've seen in relation to investment banks, both in the U.S. and in Britain and elsewhere during the financial crisis.
And let's be honest, Mark, it's probably not the last scandal either. Mark Scott. Mark Scott's a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you.